It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
It is Wednesday, my dudes. Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Here, you have overtime coming at you live here. My name is Tanner Carson. I am your host this evening. Joining me, high atop his perch, his producer's perch.
My ivory tower.
It is Cole McCormick. Just a two-man show tonight, Cole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Daniel Bratman has the night off. He requested this night off. He said him and his girlfriend were doing going out eating tonight. I think it was her birthday.
I believe it's her birthday.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you gotta please the female in your
life. Oh yeah, gotta keep them happy.
That's absolutely a must. I totally understand that, mm-hmm. DB, and it wouldn't be fair for me to, you know, not give him a night off,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, for the fact that I was off Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be here the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being taken out for a birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I am covering Sevier County versus Jefferson County on Friday night.
Okay.
For the Mountain Press.
Okay.
Doing that, that's an announcement I guess I'm making on the air, too. I've already made it known to friends and family. But, yeah, I am taking a position this fall to be a freelance high school sports writer
for
the Mountain Press. Thank you, Cole. The Mountain Press out of Sevierville. So, it's not guaranteed that I won't be here every Friday night. It's like an on-call thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I could be here. I could not be here. It just depends on what they need for that week.
Understandably.
But, I mean, hey, money's money.
That's right. Yeah.
I got to eat.
You got to.
It's just, I have, I got cheeseburgers, Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. I need to eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the other nutritional goodness,
yeah.
that people in our age group like to dine on.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it somehow.
You got to get it somehow. It doesn't just appear.
So that's an extra venture that I will be doing this fall, just making it known out here in case any of you ever tune in on a Friday, and it's just Cole and Daniel, and you're wondering what the hell happened to me. Did he quit? Did he die? Did he get fired? Like, what happened? No. None of that.
Making money.
Just doing a little side hustle.
Yeah. Got to.
That's all there is. Well, without further ado, let's get back into what is obviously the topic of the day, and that is today's update on Tennessee football fall camp. The balls practiced earlier today. They did practice today, right?
Yes, they did.
For some reason, I thought I was reading something that said like Tuesday. I'm like, wait, I know they had practice today.
Yeah, they were out there.
That's why I asked that in the form of a question, because I got unsure of myself at the very last second. But yes, they were out there today, getting after it again. And really, an average day.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really popping out as far as, you know, breaking news is concerned. Just your typical run-of-the-mill practice that they had today. The biggest thing to take note of, though, is Pruitt is not shy about experimenting with different positions as far as players switching around, whatever different formula you have out there.
Yeah.
He's not shy about it. And you're seeing that in practice here. For the past 2 days, you've seen Drew Richmond taking snaps at right tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving him around from his spot last year was usually left tackle.
Mm-hmm. I think right tackle suits him better.
Oh, for sure. And especially with – and I know that until Trey Smith gets his full contact, you know, clear to mm-hmm. go on August the 19th, he's still been doing what drills that he's been able to do and what he has been allowed to do. And it's mostly been him at left tackle, and it's been him taking some snaps at guard too, which was his starting position last season.
Yeah.
So really just showing off his versatility there. But from the looks of it, Drew Richmond, is he in danger of possibly not becoming a starter now this season?
Oh, man. As it sits right now, I'd say no, just because, you know, this is his last year. He's been playing for a while, even though it hasn't been, you know, stellar performance. He still has that experience under his belt. I think if he plays right tackle, that suits him better than left. He just doesn't have the quick feet and the hands that takes to be left tackle. I mean, left tackle, that's a special position. That's usually your best offensive lineman. Sticking him at right tackle, maybe even guard, just because the two guard spots are probably the two biggest questions on the offensive line. I think he'll start. Will he start at right tackle? I don't know. Either that or guard, but I feel like he'll be out there.
Do you think this is what it's going to finally take to get some real production out of him?
Maybe so. Yeah, I mean, because he was a 5-star guy coming in. There was a lot of
that was a big battle to get him away from Ole Miss, yes, to get him out of Memphis, which Tennessee doesn't do that often, especially when it comes to somebody who is a high caliber player, which he was.
Yeah, yeah, it was down to the wire for him against Ole Miss. But yeah, I'm hoping this is what, you know, can jumpstart his, I don't want to say career, just because this is his last season. It's not like
make it or break it now.
Yeah. I mean, he has a talent. I don't think that all the rankings coming out of high school were just a bunch of fluff. You know, I feel like there is some talent there. It's not his fault, you know, who his head coach was, who his offensive line coach was, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think with the right leadership and discipline and teaching, yeah, he can probably blossom into a pretty good lineman this year. At least good enough to get the job done, better than what he has been doing.
I mean, it's going to have to happen at some point, right?
I mean, you would hope, yeah.
I mean, this is kind of, and I know he's probably fitting the mold of a lot of these highly ranked Butch players, mm-hmm, that he got to sign, and they were met with a lot of fanfare when they did sign. And now all of a sudden it's, okay, you've been here for years, you haven't even closely lived up to your billing.
Yeah.
What is it going to take? Because you're under a completely new offensive scheme. You're going to be under entirely new direction, who, from all accounts, are much more dedicated to developing players throughout the offseason, mm-hmm, and developing their talent during practice. Is this what it's finally going to take? Because I said it before, it's now or never for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll make the league unless he has a really good season this year.
I don't know about him making the league at all, but yeah, I'm just having something that's going to be considered competent as far as, mm-hmm, an SEC offensive lineman. Yeah. Not even starting. If you just, which we all assume he's going to make the two deep still, but if he loses that starting spot, just give me something that's consistent,
yeah,
at the very least.
I think
you don't have to make an all SEC team at the end of the season. Just live by these two simple words. Don't suck.
Yeah.
Pruitt should just put that next to where the Tennessee sign is. Yeah. I will give my all for Tennessee today. Put it right next to it.
Slap that one too.
Also slap a sign that says, don't suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just simple.
Yeah. I think he'll be a starter. I mean, offensive line has very little depth. I feel like even though he's not a great offensive lineman, or at least hasn't been so far,
he's going to have to try to be.
He's going to have to try to be, and I think his best, even though it's not great, is going to be better than the rest of the squad.
Going around the rest of the offensive line here, talking about people battling out for starting spots, or either to win them over or just retain their starting spots, looks like it's going to be a battle between Ryan Johnson, who I feel like he's been here for 5 years.
Yeah, he's been here a while.
When I talk about Ryan Johnson, and that's somebody who also was, you know, not a 5-star talent, but he had the offers, and he had the build, mm-hmm, of someone you would consider to be a starting offensive lineman in the SEC. I feel like he's been here forever. From the accounts in practice, he is in a battle for a starting guard spot against one Mr. Riley Locklear,
okay,
who was thrusted into the starting lineup near the end of last season because everybody just dropped like flies out there.
Yeah.
Do you remember Riley Locklear out there?
I do.
He looked like he shouldn't have been out there.
It's pitiful. It's pitiful.
Like, kid, are you an offensive lineman?
Him and Tatum. Tatum was thrown out there, too.
Tatum is small.
He just looked like a fat tight end.
He really? He's like, nope, that's our starting offensive lineman. So, I mean, any interest in that right there? Who do you think, just off the top of your head, would be better as a starter?
Oh, man.
Why I look up, like, comparing the rankings of high school.
That's a question of lesser of two evils.
Locklear was a three-star. He was in the class of 2017, so this would just be, you know, with him having to get in action last year, he was unable to redshirt and really take that valuable time that he would have been staying on the bench, developing his skills, just building mass up in his body.
Yeah.
So now he's a true sophomore out there.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Those two, they don't – I don't get excited when I hear those two names.
Ron Johnson, just from the tail of the tape, 6'6", 302 pounds.
I mean, he's got the size.
Versus Locklear, who's 6'4", sub-300 last I checked.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Johnson just because he does have the more size. That would be it, though. I feel like their ability, athletic ability, is similar.
Johnson was a four-star coming out of high school. Number five player in the state of Tennessee for the 2016 recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of hype around him when he got here.
I just remember how, as a piece of the soundproof foaming fell off, Houston! Houston, we need you!
The ghost is back.
He's left. He'll have to fix that in the morning. Ghosts are knocking down the soundproof here.
Yeah.
But it looks really good.
It does look good.
I wish we could just take – I know I'm going on a segue here, but I wish I could just take pictures of – how this setup has come along.
Oh, it's come along nicely.
And we're still not done here.
Yeah.
Oh, such a beautiful studio we have here. But back to Ryan Johnson. I remember being excited about him because he committed early on. It says right here, according to 247 Sports, he committed on July 19th, 2014.
Yeah.
For a class of 2016 prospects. So he committed early on in the cycle, in the middle of his high school career. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, man, with the face and the haircut, he looks like Buzz from Home Alone.
Yeah, he really does.
I mean, he looks like a Buzz from Home Alone after he hit puberty, had a big growth spurt, and became an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Ugh. I mean, like, look at him if you don't believe him. He really does look like him.
Yeah.
So you would think with a look like that, he would be a nasty, pretty good offensive lineman.
You would think. He looks mean.
Him versus Locklear, oh, I think it's going to be a bad sign if Johnson loses out to Locklear for the starting job. Yeah. No offense to him. No offense to Locklear. But, I mean, come on.
I mean,
He has the experience edge over him. And he supposedly has this athletic edge over
physical
him.
Edge. I mean, just everything. He should win this out, but he just hasn't been impressive. He just hadn't, you know, really done anything. Which, I mean, it's hard to, you know, quote unquote, do something when you're a lineman. But when you're letting somebody in the backfield every play, that's really the only thing you have to worry about, and you can't even do that.
With just a little over 2 weeks until the season begins, how confident are you in this offensive line group?
The only question I would have would be the guard position, because I feel like we know who our tackles are going to be, Trey and Drew, center Kennedy.
You got Chance Hall in that too deep for the tackle
Chance
spot
Hall,
as well.
That's true. I always forget about Chance.
Yeah, Tatum also in fighting around for the mixture in that too deep.
Yeah.
Got Jameer Johnson, JUCO prospect.
Yeah.
So he already has the body type, and from practice reports, he's been looking solid.
Mm-hmm.
Not solid enough to be a starter, maybe, but definitely you'll see him out in the rotation.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Chance Hall. Throw him in there at either right guard or tackle. I feel like left guard is going to be Trey Smith. Don't you?
You think they're going to keep him at guard?
Or, excuse me, left tackle. It's going to be Trey Smith.
There you go.
Left
Absolutely.
Tackle. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be him. The other one, either Hall or...
I don't think Hall starts.
You don't think he starts at all?
No, they're still slowly making sure he's going to be game ready.
Yeah.
Like, he'll play this season, but I don't know about how much he will see the field against West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd say he probably won't start against West Virginia. The only thing I'm worried about is once SEC play starts, once Florida comes to town, I feel like he'll be ready to go.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
You need all hands on deck for that one. 865-546-8200. That's the number for the McKinney team by Keller Williams. Phone lines here. We got a great show ahead of you. This is Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stick with us. Of quick hitting some of the other things that Jeremy Pruitt had to say today addressing the media regarding the ongoing fall camp as football season still fastly approaches. Cole McCormick, I do believe you have some of the more interesting quotes.
Yeah, a bunch of different outlets and people on Twitter, such as Dan Harrelson, GoVols247, and others. They were tweeting out simultaneously just quotes Coach Pruitt was talking about today. 247 tweeted out about cornerback Sean Schamberger. He has been working exclusively at safety this week after previously working at the star spot. Pruitt says, while Schamberger probably would like to settle into one spot, the Vols want to see where he fits best. Pruitt likes his natural ability.
And apparently he's been looking very comfortable and very at home at the safety spot.
Yeah. Staying with the secondary, Dan Harrelson tweeted out also. He said, Coach Pruitt said, quote, the secondary want to find guys that know how we want them to play, can get lined up, make the calls, are good tacklers. There's lots of competition out there. So that's always good to see. The guys, I mean, that's probably going to be the position on the team that has the most question marks, I would say. Probably right behind the offensive line.
So you think the offensive line has the most question marks?
Because
I really think it's the secondary.
I think it could be. I think it's a toss-up. I think it's both of them.
I think just with the clearance of Trey Smith and with the addition of Brandon Kennedy, that really cleared up a lot of doubt. Yeah. Even though there's still some that lingers, especially when it comes to depth. But
at least you have those two.
I think you have more known commodities.
Yeah.
On the offensive line than you do in the secondary. However, that's not saying much. I just think outside of TK Warrior, I mean, I'm a little worried about some parts in the secondary. I really am a little worried now. However, I have gotten a little more comfortable. You had Alante Taylor showing out like he did in the scrimmage. Bryce Thompson as well. You also have Cedric Tillman. Apparently, he's been doing really good back there in the secondary. So, you have a lot of really good young talent. If Schamberger can fit in better with the safeties, that just adds depth to that part of the secondary.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really just worried about the corners.
Yeah, I am too.
And especially with who you're facing game one.
Yeah. I mean, because it sounded like we might have two true freshmen at corner with Taylor and Thompson. Because they seem to be doing the best at corner.
I don't care if you start Taylor. I don't know about two of them.
Yeah.
Of course, if it gives you the best chance to win, sure. But do we really know if that does?
I mean, no. They're unproven.
You can be an all-star in practice. You can be an all-star in scrimmages. But, buddy, once you're out there on that field, and especially if it's game number one of your college career,
yeah,
and you're facing a highly potent offense,
yeah,
like West Virginia's, Dana Holgorsen, when he's dissecting film and he's game planning, he's licking his chops.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know exactly how it's going to look.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm worried about the corners at the start of the season. Now, maybe they'll mature as the season progresses, especially if you do have to play those younger bodies, if you do have to throw Taylor out there as a starter, and if you have to have Thompson as a starter. That's fine. We see this all the time. I mean, usually you can be a freshman on paper, but you can have the maturity and the soul of an upperclassman.
Yeah.
And you can look completely unbothered out there. Think about Cam Sutton his freshman year.
Yeah, that's true.
If you just give me something like that, Alante Taylor, I'm going to be pretty happy. And if you can duplicate that with Bryce Thompson as well, why not?
Yeah, why not?
But it might just take some growing pains.
It'll definitely be growing pains. Yeah, like you said, I don't know if they'll throw two, you know, true freshmen out there against West Virginia. Maybe one. Maybe just throw a more veteran guy out there just to kind of help. Because if it's going to be one guy, it's going to be Alante. It's not going to be – I don't think Thompson's going to go over Alante.
Man, all this stuff terrifies me really thinking about it. And yeah, it makes me think – and the Drive had the similar question earlier. They were, you know, kind of posing. With the youth back there and with – all the stuff lined up against you as far as facing Will Greer, facing those receivers, facing that attack goes, do you think Pruitt's going to be a little more aggressive than usual and probably just making sure that, hey, if we can get to Greer, make him uncomfortable, I mean, that gives him less time to, like, set back there and try to pick apart our defense.
I mean, yeah, that would be I mean, working to your strength on the defense, because the defensive backfield is just going to be – I mean, they're not going to be terrible, but they're, it's going to be the weakness of our defense for sure.
Because it's either that or you try to do like a bend, don't break thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know about that working for you.
Yeah.
Because the way the air raid attack works, it's not going to be 80-yard shots down the field every time you take play number one. It's going to be death by a thousand paper cuts.
Yeah.
It's short to intermediate throws. They just pick apart, pick apart, pick apart. And then when you're expecting them to keep picking apart like a just a little short 5-7 yard slant or whatever, then that's when they try to kill you deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just bring the house.
You're probably going to have to.
Yeah.
And that could end up really costing you, but it's risk versus reward at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the only way to really stop that offense. I mean, I don't see our, I mean, I hate to say it, I don't see our secondary stopping those receivers. I really don't.
Yeah, they're not going to be stopped. However, you can do the thing where you just got to make sure that, okay, they're going to get theirs. Like David Sills, he's going to get his. You make sure it's not going to be something backbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, if it... If a successful game plan ends up, okay, he has to get 150 yards receiving. You know, Greer gets close to 300, but that still leaves you in a position to win. Take that, I guess. You want to make sure they don't really, really start putting up the numbers.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be in a dangerous spot there. Pruitt did have something interesting to say regarding game plan for West Virginia. This kind of caught my attention when you brought this up to me.
Yeah. According to Govals247's Twitter, they tweeted out Pruitt saying, "We haven't turned our attention to West Virginia yet, but we spend a period or two in practice on something our opponents do."
A period or two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say that if you're him? Because I don't think that's disrespectful saying that, but people are going to take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
And maybe we are reading too much into that. Because certainly they're not just now preparing for West Virginia. They're not just now taking a couple periods to, okay, scout team, you be the air raid. Hey, walk on. You're going to be Will Greer for this set of plays.
Mm-hmm.
No, they've been looking at film. They've been preparing for a while now.
Yeah, I mean he's not gonna let us know what's really going on. I mean, they may be doing that in practice, but you know he's been watching film on them since he's been here.
Is this maybe a facade put up by Pruitt to where he's just making people think that, hey, we're not intimidated. I'm not going to come out here and say, oh, that's all we think about is West Virginia.
Yeah.
We're so worried about them. Or is that dangerous saying that?
I don't think it's dangerous. I think it has to do more with his big focus being on development and getting these players to buy in and learn how to practice correctly and, you know, all this other stuff other than focusing on the first game of the season, all of fall camp. Because, you know, his biggest thing has been about coaching guys up, developing them, teaching them how to, you know, do certain things right other than, you know, what the Butch Jones regime did. Because this is still fall camp, once, like, the first official real practice starts for West Virginia, that'll be the focus. But this is just still camp, so I can understand it right now. But we're, you know, what, 2.5 weeks away from the game? So it's about that time to be looking at them.
If we had Brackman here, he'd give us our official overtime countdown to kickoff. But alas, he's not here. We are missing that.
Mm-hmm.
A big service he brings to this program. Mm-hmm. We miss you, DB.
Hope you're having a nice meal.
I'm sure he's going to tell us all about it.
I have the countdown if you want it.
Oh, Cole McCormick with the official countdown. Give it to us, sir.
Coming in clutch. Countdown to kickoff. 16 days, 21 hours, 4 minutes, and 10 seconds.
Peyton Manning days away!
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love the sound of it. Love the sound of it. Any other notable quotes here as we're up against this break?
Yeah, Pruitt also talked about Dominic Wood Anderson saying that he's a big guy with soft hands.
I almost keep forgetting about him. Man, yeah. He's going to be a big weapon.
Yeah. Apparently, too, it looks like they may have held Darren Kirkland out today. Govals247 said Pruitt says the quote protocol with Darren Kirkland Jr. is to manage him along and give him a day off here and there. Said it's important to make sure he's healthy for when the season starts.
I'm perfectly fine with that. And yeah. If he has to be limited during the scrimmage this Saturday, let him be limited.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
There's no need to rush that. No need to rush him or Juwan or Chance Hall.
Yeah. Probably the last thing I saw that really caught my eye from all these quotes out of his presser today. Pruitt said that he sees a closeness that he likes within the running back group.
Oh, yeah, which brought up another interesting point there. He said that as many as five guys could be rotated in and out. There's running back by committee, and then is this overkill? That's a lot.
Maybe a little. I mean, I can understand if you said four, because I rattled off four when you told me that, but the fifth guy, I don't know who that could be.
Okay, so Ty Chandler, Madre London,
Tim Jordan,
Jeremy Banks.
Yeah.
Then I told you Trey Coleman.
Yeah, maybe.
And then also, if they still can't find a position for him, Princeton Fant.
Yeah.
But you said they moved him to tight end.
Yeah, they moved him back to tight end yesterday, which I think he'll be a multi-tool. He'll be like that tight end, running back, fullback kind of thing, which I feel like a lot of those tight ends are going to be.
Are we going to use a Wildcat formation for him too at this point?
Why not?
Because it seems like they can't find a damn position for
him. I mean,
him.
Because his size is the size running back Pruitt wants.
But he's not looking like he's going to crack like a starting like
no, definitely not.
Three or four of that running back.
Definitely
group.
Not, no.
So he's a literal Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works, it works, I guess. But five running backs, though?
That's a lot. I mean, I feel like four is enough.
Didn't Dave Clawson try to do something like that with the Claw offense 10 years ago? That was his big thing. It's like, okay, it's going to be a power running game first. We're going to use a mobile quarterback, but also we're going to use a running back by committee. And it was almost like, I believe one of the many problems with the offense is nobody can really get in a rhythm.
Yeah.
If you use too many people, it's if a guy may have a hot day, but he needs more reps to, you know, try to reel some runs off, really start to get to feel it, that's not going to happen if it's, okay, you reeled off a 15-yard run, come onto your sidelines for about five plays while we put two more guys in ahead of you.
I mean, I can understand giving guys rest, but five guys, that's a little much. I mean, I know you have to have a lot of backs in the SEC now. I mean, to really be successful, you have to have a lot, but five, especially the way our depth chart sits, I don't know if we even have five.
Maybe five guys is meant as in, okay, we have five reliable guys that we can give the ball to if we need to, but I think a solid rotation of three.
Yeah,
that's fine. Find your first three and just roll with it. 865-546-8200. That's the McKinney Team Hotline. This is Overtime. We're going to hit this quick break. Be right back on the other side. Stick with us. Back here on the show, 865-546-8200. That is the number for the McKinney Team Hotline. Want to tell you about our good friends over with the McKinney Team by Keller Williams, Travis and Emily McKinney. They understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience, and that's why they have developed a team of highly seasoned real estate professionals who are dedicated to providing exceptional personalized services for all of their clients. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams promises to work relentlessly to ensure that their clients achieve their real estate goals. Give them a call at 865-548-8267 and visit ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. Proud sponsors of the McKinney Team by Keller Williams. Phone lines, let's go over to that same phone line at this very moment. Take a call from our good pal Roberto. What you got for us, man?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Or evening at this point.
Yeah, early evening.
I think the greatest impact Jeremy Pruitt's had on these players is their taste in music. Did you guys see this morning?
Yes.
Trey Smith, and he's listening to Waylon Jennings.
Roberto, I wanted to get into that later. Yes, that is one of the best things
I've
ever
beautiful.
Seen. Are you sure Hank done it this way? Oh, what a classic.
It inspired me, man. I listened to that entire album today.
Oh, really?
Myself.
Look at that.
Man. Waylon Jennings is all time. I mean, he's one of my five all-time favorites.
Oh, one of the greatest, I mean, not just country artists of all time, one of the greatest artists of all time, period. If Pruitt has that locker room listening to Outlaw Country, it's 15-0. It's 15-0, man. Sign me up.
Yeah, just chalk it up. We're winning 41-7 on the first, if that's true. Guys, as far as what you were saying earlier about Pruitt, I think he's just kind of keeping it under wraps a little bit. I think did you see his interview with Feinbaum yesterday, where Feinbaum basically ostensibly gave him a comment for being able to never say anything while saying a whole bunch of things? Did you see that? And Pruitt kind of smiled and apologized through a smile. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did see that.
So I think he's, you know, people, if they're not from here and here being the South or this area of the South, they won't get it. But that guy's pretty smart, I think. You know, he talks like, you know, if you were from, say, California, Oregon, upstate New York, somewhere, you'd think he was a stumble-bum idiot, right? All right, you know, talking like that. But he's actually, I think, pretty shrewd. And I also think that you were talking about running backs. I didn't hear because I was on was calling in. Did you mention Princeton Fant?
Yeah,
in the backfield.
Yeah, we actually did mention that, him being maybe the fifth guy. But as Cole said, they got him taking reps at tight end now. It seems like that guy can't find a position. Which, I mean, if he can be a
productive, he never could find a position in high school. That was it.
If he can be a productive Swiss Army knife, you know, whatever, let him have it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, sure. And you know what? I mean, at this point, we just need guys who play football. And that's why everybody's talking about this. I wanted to bring this up later in the call. And I want to talk about Jalen Hurts quickly later. But I need guys who play football. I want Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson type guys, especially at skill positions. And one that's being underrated and not really talked about is Austin Pope. I'm a CAK guy, so I'm always going to stand up for my CAK guys. And just to let you know, every CAK kid that's ever played at Tennessee, which is not very many, obviously, two at this point, I don't know if you guys know, they've all signed pro football contracts. Did you know that?
Yeah, Josh Smith, and who's the other CAK?
A lineman.
Brett Kendrick.
Kendrick.
Oh, that's right. The Lions. That's right.
I just think it's funny because CAK kind of gets this moniker of being soft, and to an extent they are in a way. But Austin Pope is the rawest player they've ever put out. You guys are really going to enjoy watching him crack heads. He's tough. I saw him drop a dude in a game. He got in a fight with a guy because the guy had said a disparaging, you know, he lost his father at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
He'd said a disparaging remark about Austin Pope's father.
Oh.
And Austin Pope promptly beat the heavens into him, if you know what I mean.
Good.
Hallelujah. Go to CAK. But guys, here's where I'm at with the guys like Jalen Hurts. This was brought up at lunch to me today. People are like, oh, are we really going to try to bring him in? Yes! Yes! You bring in football players who have a winning pedigree, period. And he can play in about four positions on our team right now and probably play significant minutes.
Wait. Quarterback. Roberto, are you telling me that there are people arguing with you that Tennessee should not bring Jalen Hurts in, if that opportunity was to
more than
himself?
Not, yes.
Oh,
I'm surprised by that,
what?
But more than not, yes.
What?
They're idiots.
Yes.
I told them they're morons.
Good, you should have.
I don't know if, I mean, he would be our starting quarterback right now. I think we all agree that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I
agree.
I think he could probably not be our starting tight end, but he would get reps at tight end. We're desperate for outside linebackers. He's that size. And if you trimmed him down just a little bit and taught him the position, he could probably play safety. Like the kid is a football player. He's too athletic to say no. And I just can't get somebody literally said the exact same thing that they were saying about Brandon Kinney. The same guy. Like, well, he couldn't start Alabama. Dude! Like, none of our players, save Trey Smith, could start at Alabama. Are we all on the same page with that, at least?
Yeah, for the most part.
Tennessee started Alabama.
I'd have to think pretty hard about who. I mean, maybe Warrior if he reached his full potential, but right now, yeah, probably Trey Smith.
I don't know, man. I like Warrior a lot physically. I don't know if he's all there upstairs, guys. And I'm not disparaging him. I don't know him, but it just seems like he really struggles to grasp the playbook a little bit, no matter where they are. Guys, I've really enjoyed the show today. I think you hit on a lot of topics. And it's not because of Waylon, though I think that helps. I think Tennessee is going to sneak one out against West Virginia. And mark it down, boys. We are pummeling Florida. Florida sucks out loud. They suck out loud, and their coach is a goof. Okay? We are going to beat their damn eyes shut. It's going to be 17-plus. Book it right now. Put your money on it, Vegas.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Roberto, firing us up here on this Wednesday. Thanks for a phone call, man. Oh, he's got me fired up.
Yeah,
now.
Man.
Oh, he just, oh. You know, you can say that we might have a little, like, minor upset against West Virginia. You know, that make me happy and everything. But, oh, when you got Roberto on here saying that we're going to beat the crap out of Florida.
Just beat their eyes in.
Oh, and I'm imagining a night game in Neyland.
Oh.
You just come out there. Dan Mullen still doesn't know who the hell he's going to start quarterback.
He's trying to learn how to tie shoes.
He's pacing up and down the sidelines wearing his fresh new J's that he got delivered to him straight from Phil Knight. And he's just all worried. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do here. I don't know about this. You know, I'm all worried about everything. And then all of a sudden, it's just everything clicks just for that one night. You get to have an old-fashioned beat down the Gators.
Yeah.
The likes of which you haven't seen since at least 1992.
A long time.
Oh, Roberto.
Got me fired up.
Man, it's mid-August. I'm not supposed to be this fired up yet. That game's still over a month away, man. Goodness gracious. Well, I don't think there's any following that up right now, so we're going to hit a break.
Mm-hmm.
865-546-8200. Good luck following that call as far as getting me and Cole fired up here on this Wednesday. It's supposed to be another the Lord's Day. Yeah, this is the day people go to church.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the humble top of day. I'm fired up now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to punch somebody wearing orange and blue.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
I'm ready to go ahead and do it. So we're going to take this break, reset a little bit.
Calm down.
Yeah, definitely calm down. Give you our Mount Rushmore on the other side. Just a two-person Mount Rushmore. But this may be a controversial one because I don't think there's a lot of really wrong answers here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we'll get to it on the other side. You are listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Nearly 10 till 7 here on this Wednesday evening. Hope you all are doing well out there in Radio Land. Final segment of this first hour of Overtime. It is time for another edition of Mount Rushmore. I'm going to be so sad when the season gets here, Cole.
Yeah.
Because we can't do Mount Rushmore anymore. This is only it's a silly season, an off-season thing.
Okay.
But, I guess when we eventually have to put it out into its own off-season, It's going to be better when it comes back next year,
mm-hmm.
because we don't want it to be stale, you know.
Oh yeah,
don't want it to be stale. But I feel like I don't know how it took us this long to get to this topic, because we have done different entertainment Mount Rushmores here before.
Sure,
this is the first time we were doing this one though.
This is a good one too.
I wish Daniel could have been here for this. I would like to see his list.
Mm-hmm.
But we will give you today's Mount Rushmore. The topic is comedy movies. Tough list. Such a tough list.
Yeah.
I know I might get people tweeting at me asking me, what am I smoking?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with me? But it's just, there's so many to pick from. It's going to be entirely subjective. And this is from what I've seen. And there might be some good ones I haven't seen yet. But these are just from the ones I've seen. So, let's get started. Number one, it's not my favorite comedy of all time because of what else I have on this list. It's my second favorite comedy of all time. Mm-hmm. Superbad.
That's a good one.
I love Superbad. I think it's the greatest comedy movie of Probably this millennium so far.
Okay.
I know that's a hot take, but it's really good.
That is a hot take.
It's really good. It's definitely the last great coming of age, teen type of comedy movie.
Yeah.
And sure. Think about the star power you have in that. You got Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
You got Michael Cera.
Yeah.
You got Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Oh, man, who else you got in that? Oh.
The girl.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
How did I forget Emma Stone off the top of my head? Yeah, I mean, just a great cast of characters.
Yeah.
Great story. So many memorable quotes. I love it so much. I need to watch it again. Mm-hmm. Need to watch it again sometime soon. Next up, Spaceballs. Had to put a Mel Brooks film on here. I almost put Blazing Saddles, but to me, I kind of like Spaceballs a little bit more.
Okay.
Came out in the mid-80s. I mean, just at face value, it's just a parody of Star Wars, but a parody so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute ridiculousness. You got Rick Moranis as Dark Helmet. He's got the big helmet, just almost covers up his entire body. you have the just entire craziness of that whole story. John Candy,
yeah,
he's so great in that. And I'm still waiting. While Mel Brooks is still alive, he still needs to make Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. Mm. They said it happened in the movie. It still hasn't happened yet. It's been 30-plus years.
Oh, God.
But we wait. Next up, Groundhog Day. Love Groundhog Day. I had to put a Bill Murray movie in here, too. And Groundhog Day makes the cut out of a lot of amazing movies he's been in. It took me a while to see that for the first time.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it for the first time until Groundhog Day of last year, so 2017. It was on. It had like its all-day marathon on AMC, I believe the channel is. Great story. Very unique plot. And Bill Murray is just an outstanding actor all the way around. Completing my Mount Rushmore, The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now I alluded to it a little bit earlier. This is my favorite film of all time. But it's a lot of things, but it's mostly a comedy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a lot of things. It's a movie that you can watch multiple times. You can catch stuff you didn't watch the previous times.
Yeah, definitely.
You can just figure out something new or think about maybe this is what the plot really means. Or, oh, I didn't notice this. Oh, this makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I mean, so much good throughout that entire movie. Jeff Bridges, fantastic as the dude. And the dude always abides.
Yeah.
By the way, not on the rug, man. They peed on my rug. It really tied the room together. Quick honorable mentions. Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story.
Mm-hmm.
Very underrated, I do think. I think it doesn't get the credit that it deserves. It's a movie that parodies all of like the, here's this tragic rock star story. He had this tough upbringing. And it's like, he had this rise to superstardom. And like, his own demons caused his downfall and his eventual comeback. It takes a crap on all those movies.
Yeah.
Dewey Cox in that movie, he's like Elvis, Ray Charles, Chuck Berry, Johnny Cash, Brian Wilson. He's a bunch of people combined to one. If you have not seen this movie, I strongly encourage you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And my last two honorable mentions to give you Tom Cole, The Princess Bride, all-time
okay.
classic.
It's a good one.
And Caddyshack.
Oh, another good one. Solid list, Tanner. Solid list. First for me, it's a newer comedy, but one of my absolute favorites, the first Anchorman.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that one.
I almost put Anchorman
in
here.
I love that movie. The second one, I'm not the biggest fan of, but the first one, it's a classic for me. Second on the list, The First Hangover. I love that movie as well. Second and third, not as good. Most usually aren't. Most sequels usually aren't as good. But The Hangover, one of my favorites as well. Number three, going a little redneck, little Joe Dirt.
Ain't nothing wrong with Joe Dirt.
Little Joe Dirt.
Why don't you go down to McDonald's and get you a Wham burger and some French fries?
Yeah.
How about a Wineken?
Yeah.
Def Leppard sucks.
Yeah. I had to throw Joe on there. So he's number three. Fourth and final spot, Happy Gilmore. I love that movie. I love Adam Sandler, even though some of his roles are kind of cheesy. That movie, for me, is the best one he's done.
You can't not put a 90s Adam Sandler movie on there.
Yeah.
At his prime, he did so many great ones.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Gilmore would have to be my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so much good that he did. Think about, why is it escaping me? What's the other one he did that was like close to the time Happy Gilmore came out? It's not The Waterboy. I do love The Waterboy, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best sports movies, I think, of all time. Definitely probably the best sports comedy. Oh, like Billy Madison.
Oh, yeah, Madison. Yeah,
why did the title escape me? Man, I haven't seen that in a minute. But, yeah, I love Happy Gilmore, too. So that's your favorite Adam Sandler movie by far?
Yeah, probably. That one, or I'm looking at some of his best ones. Big Daddy, I like that one, too.
Oh, Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
It's also good. I tell you one of my favorites of his that a lot of people don't like, and it's a Christmas movie, but Eight Crazy Nights.
Okay.
Well, and a Hanukkah movie, too, but it's the animated one, came out in 2002. A lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I like Little Nicky too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hate that.
I like
Click, and a lot of people.
Yeah,
hate
that
Click.
One was pretty good. I like the first. Well, I like both of them. The grown up movies. I like both of those too.
Yeah, my mom's a fan of those. Yeah. I think personally, most movies he has been in after Click have been turds.
Yeah,
I mean they've been real big stinkers.
Yeah, I mean he started off so good.
You don't mess with a Zohan. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that? Jack and Jill? Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Terrible.
Just Go With It. I didn't like that one. I mean, even though it had Jennifer Aniston in it, and I'm a big fan of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the other girl's name is, too. Big fan of hers as well. But, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to go Happy Gilmore. Best Adam Sandler.
Oh, for sure. I'm thinking of all the... I mean, Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Has there been a better antagonist in the movie? Uh-uh. As far as just how like funny and great he is,
how much you just hate him.
Oh, I need to rewatch that. There's so many of these I need to rewatch. I need to rewatch Princess Bride as mm-hmm. well, and just man, there's so many like I left out. Like I didn't even put Ghostbusters on here.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking about the Bill Murray movies, and just I had to put one.
What did you think of Chuck and Larry?
I saw that in theaters. I mean, not good.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst he made, though.
Yeah. I was kind of iffy on it. Just
him
because,
and Kevin James, I mean.
Just because I love Kevin James.
Kevin James, and no offense, Cole, he's made some turds, too.
Well, he's made, I think I'm more of a fan of his just because of King of Queens. I love that show.
Great TV show.
Yeah, but his movies have kind of been just kind of bad.
Paul Blart.
Yeah.
What was the one about the zoo, Zookeeper?
I think it was Zookeeper.
Okay, yeah. The talking gorilla. What was that? They were like going to TGI Fridays. And
yeah.
Like they thought it was the greatest thing ever. They made TGI Fridays look like Caesar's Palace yeah. or something extravagant like that.
Just yeah.
Weird stuff. Really weird stuff. They'll never stop making movies either.
Oh, no, they won't.
Never going to stop. 865-546-8200. Hour number one, it's done. Hour number two, coming at you live next.